God bless y'all. Hope you had a great time when I was gone, and it was good. Saturday, I'm getting married. Amen. My wife and I have been living in sin for 25 years. If you are a visitor, I got married 25 years ago, but never had a wedding. My wife and I went to Vegas and got married with a judge and one witness, so we're having a full-on wedding this Saturday here. If you haven't gotten a ticket, it's a free ticket, but you had an RSVP, it's full, so you can't get in. But the reason I say that, because I don't want you to show up and be disappointed, because there were tickets and was online. She actually has a dress I've never seen, so I'm not going to see it until she comes in. Amen. Hey, you know what I'm saying? I took off my ring, so I've been going straight bachelor for about a month. And actually, they had to take it off to make a new one, and I said I'm not putting it on until that day. So I got the new one. I've never been to a bachelor's party in my life. That's honest, good as truth. And so I'm gonna have a bachelor's party on Friday. And what that means is my son and I are gonna watch Rush Hour 1 and Rush Hour 2. We're gonna go spend a night someplace the night before, and then we'll come in here and then see it. So we've got the limo and the cake and the whole thing. So we're gonna have a wedding, and it's a surprise of who's gonna do the vows and all kinds of stuff. And then we're gonna have a very short reception right here with the cake, so everybody can be a part of that. And then because we're not buying dinner for 3,500 people, so anyway, that's a good thing. One other thing, how many of y'all have never read through the whole Bible? Raise your hand. Okay, thank you for admitting that, but that's very sad. So here's what we're going to do. It's very sad. It's pitiful. It's actually pitiful. Say it's pitiful. Pitiful. Say I am pitiful. Pitiful. So here's what we're going to do. There are 1,189 chapters in the Bible, so my challenge to you is that between today and the end of the year, and I'm doing this as well, I started September 1st, 10 chapters a day. Now, the only reason for 99% of you that you can't do that, it's because you don't want to. But you have the time. And so my challenge to you is, if you never read the Bible, by the way, if you're a Christian, yes, you should read through the whole Bible many times. It was so much good stuff in there. And so 10 chapters a day. Now, if it's a lot, that's a lot. It is a lot. Just do it. You'll get so much out of it. You will get more out of it than you think. Your brain will be flooded with information and insight. So I challenge you. Now, if you do it, I'm going to tell you this. If you skip a day, you got 20. If you skip 2 days, you got 30. And it adds up really fast. You will miss days. You just make it up. Just put in the time. Do not read the Bible. I encourage you to read it with a pen and paper. God will speak to you. You have questions. You have verses to memorize. And write as much as you can. Get a notebook and try to keep it book by book, because you're going to have a ton of information you're going to want to read more about. And it will change your life. And so the first service, we had a bunch of people, hundreds of people say they're going to do it. And so my challenge to you is 10 chapters a day. Now I'm going to ask you in a minute, in 5 seconds, to say you're going to do it or not. I'm going to say, if you want to do it, raise your hand. But I'm going to give you 5 seconds to think about it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. How many of y'all are going to do it? Okay, very good. Now, because I know some of y'all are peer pressure, you want to raise your hand because you don't want to look like you're not going to do it. I'm going to draw it again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. How many of y'all are going to do it? Okay, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to get one person to hold you accountable. Now, when you miss days, when you, do only 5 verses, just deal with it and make it up. Don't punk out, oh, I'm 30 behind. Block your day out, turn off America, Desperate Housewives or whatever you watch, and which is a nasty show, you shouldn't watch it anyway, but read the Bible, okay? Okay, let's go. Let's see your Bibles this morning. Say word. Word. One more time, say word. Word. Pen. Lesson blad. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We've got a lot to go over this morning. Romans chapter 8. Lord, thank you so much for being back home. Thank you for blessing our lives, blessing the church. And I pray you speak to us this morning, and I pray more importantly, because we know you're going to speak, that we listen. Amen. I went on vacation for 2 weeks, and then after we went to Hawaii, and my wife came home, and I flew to the Philippines last Saturday. And I left at noon on Saturday, got to the Philippines. It was a 10-hour, 11-hour flight. Sunday night, we lost a day, and it's 18-hour difference and all that kind of, 15-hour difference. And went to a church, and I was there because we're setting up a Miles Ahead Do Something Festival. We used to do crusades, now we call them festivals, evangelistic event. And what we're going to incorporate is a whole Do Something campaign where the hosts, all the Christians in the city, serve the city for 6 months. And hopefully eventually set up a lot of the ministries we have here. We're setting up a website called Do Something World. They could all give their input on how they do what they do. So we want to network churches around the world and on the website show how people are serving their community. And so anyway, we went over to set that up. Now, the Sunday night I spoke to a church, like our 7 o'clock service, about 1,200 kids in this church. And then the next morning went to a pastor's meeting to kind of launch this idea of doing this event, which is going to happen in almost 2 years from now. Now, usually when we do a pastor's event, it's after we've been in the town for about a year, and the event's going to happen, it's got a date and everything. We've only been working with the Manila for 2 months. We've been on the ground 11 days. One of our staff, this is my first trip there. So I didn't know what to expect. And usually a big group of pastors is 100. We had 1,200 pastors and youth leaders. Packed out this church. They were standing against the wall. It was amazing. Then went to another meeting with 30 of their bishops who oversee about 2,000 churches. They signed a formal letter saying, we want you to come, a formal invitation. Went to a meeting with the presidents of 15 universities. They invited us to come onto campus to teach values, to do sports clinics, to involve the kids and do something. Volunteerism in the city just said, come do whatever you want. Went to a businessman meeting. It was just on and on. It was just incredible. Well, I was there for 2 days, came home Tuesday. We actually left Tuesday night at 10:30 in the Philippine time. Flew 12 hours to San Francisco, and it was now 8 o'clock Tuesday night. I lost 2.5 hours. Well, it was crazy. But whenever I go to a place like that, I love to learn the language. I'm not learning language, learn how to say things in their language. And in the Philippines, there's many dialects, but their main language, they speak English, but their main dialect is Tagalog. And in Tagalog, if you say, how are you, you say, kamusta ka. Everyone say, kamusta ka. How are you? And if you say, I'm doing fine, you say, mabuti. So first time I was like, first time I heard that, I was like, what? Mabuti. So with that. So, and then if you say, I'm doing fine, how are you? And they say, you're welcome, it's walang anuman. And then if you say, thank you, salamat po, is like for respect, so salamat po. And so you have to learn the right words. But you not only have to learn the right words, you have to learn how to say the right words. Not only what to say, but it's how to say it. And the Philippine people are very, my word would be very pleasant. They're very nice and pleasant. So when you say mabuti, you can't, if someone comes up to you and says makusta ka, you can't say, yo, mabuti. You can't say that because that's just like, that's not how you say it. They say it very melodic. It's like, mabuti. You know what I'm talking about? Or if they say salamat, it's just like a very, hi. So I started walking around going, mabuti, kamusta ka, salamat. It's just kind of like, gotta drag it out, okay? And so you always gotta know what to say and how to say it. Now, as we continue the series called Bubbles, everyone say Bubbles. Bubbles is a series on prayer, and it's all about this theory that this little kid is blowing bubbles up to the sky, soap bubbles, and bigger bubbles come back down. So when we pray, we send our prayers up to God, but more importantly, God sends his prayers back, his response to us. Prayer is simply communication, and real communication is always two-way. So praying to God is not simply throwing up your request and do this, because God is not our rabbit's foot, he's not our servant, we are his. It's more of us communicating with him, and what he has to say to us is more important than what we have to say to him. Okay, so we talked about in the past what will hinder our prayers. We talked about what kind of answers God gives us. It's not only information. It's power, it's encouragement, it's vision. Sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says, why are you asking me that? Sometimes he says, I already did it, you missed it. You know? And so there's a lot of things he can respond to us. We also talked about how to pray, the acronym OSIPA. Everyone say OSIPA? Very good. So today we're going to talk about praying in the Spirit. In Ephesians 6:18, I believe it's written in your notes. It says, pray in the Spirit in all occasions, all the time. Making all your requests in the Spirit. Now, some people would say, well, is praying in the Spirit praying in tongues? Now, I know some of y'all probably pray in tongues. I don't pray in tongues. I wish I did. I've had many people pray for me, lay hands on me, boom, shakalaka, laka, moon, dang, 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 dang. I'm not making fun of you if you pray in tongues because I don't, so that's how I fake it, because they say hallelujah 20 times, and you know, I was one group that said, say hallelujah, hallelujah over time, hallelujah, hallelujah, and then, oh, there you're going. I said, no, brother, I'm just saying hallelujah really fast. It just never came. So Paul said, do all prophesy, do all speak in tongues? No, you don't. You don't have to speak in tongues and pray in the Spirit. You don't have to speak in tongues to prove you have the Holy Spirit. It's just a gift, okay? So that's not necessarily what it means, even though if you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit is praying through you, blah, blah, blah. But you can pray in Spirit other ways. So we're going to talk about that today. And the focus is on the Holy Spirit leading you in what to pray and how to pray it. Praying in the Spirit means that the Holy Spirit is leading you in what to pray and how to pray. Now, who's the Holy Spirit? We had a whole series on the Holy Spirit called The Invisible Man. And remember, the Holy Spirit is a person, not a human. There's a difference. God is a person. There's a person of the Holy Spirit, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They are persons. In other words, they have personalities. They can love. They can communicate. They have a mind. That's what makes you a person, not your body. Now, Nick was here just a few weeks ago. Y'all, you know, and he has less of a body than most of you, but he is not less of a person. It's not his body. Whether you have arms and legs doesn't mean you're a person or not. It's not that. It's your soul. It's your ability to have a relationship with God. It's your personality. The fact you have one. Well, some of y'all might not have one, but the fact is you could have one, I should say. And so that's what makes you a person. So the Holy Spirit is a person, and the Holy Spirit is the person of God. And remember, the Holy Spirit's job is to execute the plan of salvation in the world and in your life. God the Father establishes what the plan is. Jesus came and executed the contract with his blood. And then Jesus died and rose from the dead and ascended and went to heaven and said, I'm going to send to you the Holy Spirit, and he's going to live in you, and he's going to execute the plan of salvation in your individual life. He's going to speak to you. He's going to love you. It's through the Holy Spirit that the Father's love is poured out in our lives. The Holy Spirit give you gifts. The Holy Spirit is all-knowing. He's all-present. He's all-powerful. Okay, these are all in your notes. So we had a whole series, 6-7 weeks on the Holy Spirit. Now, so what does it mean for praying the Holy Spirit? It means to allow the Holy Spirit, the person, to do what he does in your prayer life, to tell you what to pray, to tell you and empower you to pray in the way you should. That's what praying the Holy Spirit means. So when we look at 7 attributes, there's probably 50 million in the Bible. We're just going to look at 7 today. Okay, prayer is communication. And number one in your notes, praying in the Spirit let's look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 26, my bad. Romans 8, 26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for and as we ought to pray. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We don't know what to pray and how we ought to pray. So number one in your notes, praying the Spirit means praying God's will for our lives. Praying God's will for our lives. If you're in Romans, the book after it is 1 Corinthians. Turn to chapter 2. 1 Corinthians 2. Praying the Spirit, number one, means praying God's will, not our will. Jesus in the garden, right before he was crucified, right before he was arrested to be crucified, he said, Lord, I don't want to be crucified. In so many words, but not my will, your will be done. You do not want to pray your will. Now, you could say it, dear God, here's what I want, fine. But then say, as we talked about praying in Jesus' name, means not my will, your will be done. Holy Spirit, prompt me, give me wisdom to know what God's will is and the humility to pray for even though I might not know what it is. I just want it. I don't want my will. I don't want what I want. I have a desire for it, but I don't want it if it's not what God wants for me. Look what it says in chapter 2, verse 9, 1 Corinthians. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. What God has for you is way above your pay grade. You have no idea what God has for you. It's unbelievable. Look what it says. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, just the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit knows what God has for you. And by the way, whenever you hear someone say, I want to learn the deep things of God, the deepest things of God are his secrets pertaining to your life. And when I say secret, it just means that you don't know it. It's who you really are. It's what his plans are for you. It's his potential for your life, his opportunities that he has for you. Those are the deep things of God and how he's transforming you into his image. But it says here in verse 10, God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, just the deep things of God. Verse 11, what man knows the things of a man except the Spirit that is in the man? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Dear Holy Spirit, I want you to reveal to me what are those things that God has assigned to me that I don't know. You want to pray that. You don't want to pray what you think only because you don't know anything compared to what God knows. You may say, dear God, I need a house. God said, no. It's way bigger. Matter of fact, in Romans chapter 8, where it says that the Spirit helps us in our weakness because we don't know what we should pray for and how we ought to. Then it says, it prays on our behalf with groanings which cannot be uttered. And so you're asking for a house, and the Holy Spirit's praying on your behalf. You're saying, dear God, I need a wife, I need a wife. And the Holy Spirit says, Lord, check that. They don't need a wife. They need some Crest. Colgate. Okay? So I'll take care of this, Lord. I'll send them to CVS. Okay? CVS is the drugstore where you get the toothpaste. Okay, for all y'all who didn't get that. The Holy Spirit prays on your behalf. Okay? But what you want to do is, Holy Spirit, tell me what God's will is for my life. You may be wanting to get a job over here and God wants you over here. You don't want that job that God does not want you to have. You'll be miserable. You may want to date that person and God wants you to date that person. You do not want to date the person God does not want you to date. You will be miserable and it will never work out no matter how hard you try. And some of y'all in relationships, whether it be dating, business, school, whatever, and it seems like everything is right. Everything should be right, but something ain't right. By faith, you got to trust God. And so praying in the Spirit says, Lord, I want only what you want. Holy Spirit, reveal to me the deep things of God for my life. That's what I need. That takes patience on your behalf, our behalf, to wait, to hear that, to ask for that, to seek that. Number two in your notes, praying in the Spirit means praying truth. Praying truth. If you're in 1 Corinthians 3 books before, it is John chapter 16. You never want to pray a lie. Now you say, why would I pray a lie? He is praying a lie. Dear God, my friend just dogged me out, and I just pray you straighten them out. That's a lie. And what I mean by it's a lie is that maybe they didn't dog you out. Maybe you just have a bad perspective on what happened. Maybe you're really selfish. Maybe you're self-centered. Maybe you don't want to own up to your part in the problem. Dear God, I want to pray truth. Reveal to me why I'm having this conflict with this person. Reveal to me what you want me to do. I know you love them. I know I don't know the whole story. So I want to pray truth. Lord, don't get that person for gossiping because maybe they didn't gossip. Or maybe they have an issue with you. Heal your relationship with them so what comes out of their mouth is edifying. Pray the truth. But look what it says in, John chapter 16, verse 13. This is the Holy Spirit's job. One of his responsibilities, I should say. It says, however, when he, verse 13, chapter 16, John, when he, the Holy Spirit of truth, has come, and by the way, it says he, not it. It's not an it, it's a he. However, when he, the Holy Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into truth, all truth, for he will not speak in his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you all things to come. Holy Spirit, tell me truth. Tell me what the Bible says. And by the way, this is truth. You know, one of the easiest ways to pray powerfully, and we'll get to that in a minute, is to pray God's word. This is God's promise. All you have to do is say, dear Lord, you said thus in John chapter 14. I'm holding you to your word. God is daring us to hold him to his word. He's daring you. Just when you read 10 chapters a day, the Bible says faith comes by hearing the word of God. If you read 10 chapters a day, your faith will grow. I guarantee it. No, I'm taking that back. God guaranteed it. God guaranteed it. You read 10 chapters a day, I promise you, you will start to dream stuff. You will have more courage to do stuff you want to do. You all of a sudden start to believe more. And your relationship with God will change. Absolutely has to. If it doesn't, God's a liar. Has to. Something has to happen. You read it 10 to take your time, take notes. God's going to change your life. Guaranteed. So pray the truth. Holy Spirit, I want to pray truth. Guide me into all truth. Show me what I should pray and show me what I should not pray. Number three. Praying the Spirit means praying the impossible. The impossible. I'll just read it to you. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who can do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or imagine, according to the power that works in us. God can do exceedingly abundantly. Now, when I say impossible, I don't mean, dear God, I want to be the president of the United States next year. That is not going to happen. That's not the impossible we're talking about. There are some things that you will not happen because God does not contradict himself. In other words, someone came up to me, these two teenagers came up to me after church a couple years ago and said, if God can do anything, can he create a rock that he can't lift? How many of y'all heard that before? Okay, the problem is God can't do anything. God cannot do everything. Well, we got real quiet in here. God cannot lie. He cannot sin. He cannot deny his own character. He cannot deny his own word. He cannot deny his own son. He has even put limitations on himself that are righteousness. Okay, God cannot be tempted by evil. He cannot deceive you. He just can't. It goes against his character. So when I say praying the impossible, you are praying things, you are praying for God stuff that you can never do except with God's help. And I'm talking about overcoming addiction. I'm talking about God, heal this relationship with this person that I've always had a problem with. God, do something in my life. I want to get up every day excited. This morning, I mean, since I got back from the Philippines Tuesday night, my sleep has been messed up. I feel great during the day, so I don't have jet lag in the sense I'm walking around groggy. I feel very normal. But at night, some nights I'll sleep all night, and some nights I'll sleep 2 hours. So last night, I slept 1 hour from 10 to 11, and then I was up till about 4 a.m., just laying in bed, couldn't go to sleep. And then I fell asleep for about an hour and woke up at 5:30. My alarm went off. And so I hit the alarm. I said, I'll just sleep. I'll just lay here for a few more minutes. Next thing I know, it was 7:33. Now, we have a service at 8 o'clock. So I jumped out of bed very quickly, got dressed, throw some water on a few parts of my body that was absolutely necessary, and came down here and drove as fast as the law would allow. Without the police being around. Lord, I want to get up every day with excitement. I don't want to roll out of bed. Oh, I don't want to do today anymore. I want to pray, Lord, that I am excited about my life. That's a big thing. I want to be happy and content with my life. pray the impossible. Because I bet you there's a whole bunch of y'all in here not happy with your life. And God has blessed you with so many ways to be happy. Pray the impossible. Holy Spirit, I want to be the type of Christian the Bible says I could be. I want to know the Bible. I want to hear your voice every day. Pray that. Pray that. I don't want to have a craving for the things of the world anymore that distract me. I don't want to keep tripping over in the same temptation every day. Pray that. Pray that. That's what we should pray. You can go on and on and on, but how should we pray? Number four. Praying in the Spirit means praying persistently. Persistent. Without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says to pray. 2 Thessalonians 5:17 says to pray without ceasing. What does that mean? Without ceasing. Another way of saying it, if you don't know what ceasing means, it means constantly. Holy Spirit, how do you want me to prepare for this conversation I'm getting ready to have? Holy Spirit, how do you want me to respond to what that person just said? Holy Spirit, what do you want me to eat? Holy Spirit, what do you want me to wear today? Holy Spirit, how much do you want me to give? I'm going to tithe. I get that. So give me the power to really do the tithe. Tithe doesn't mean put anything in the plate. It means 10%. It's not like a tip. Oh, here you go, God. Thanks a lot. God, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to serve? How do you want me to serve? Constantly, all day long. The Holy Spirit is a person. Remember, a person. He wants to talk to you all day about everything. He wants you to be connected all day about everything. If you read 10 chapters a day, it will take time. And guess what? You have it. And by the way, the time you have is God's. It's not yours. But in that time that you're taking the read, you are going to be thinking about the Word of God more of the day than you did before. Oh, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And you're going to be constantly talking to God. Praying in the Spirit means that you're praying persistently. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is on his job 24 hours a day trying to transform you into the image of Christ. And praying in the Spirit means you are constantly connected with him all day, allowing him to do in your life what he wants you to do. You are conscious of his action in your life. When you have a problem, when someone cuts you off in the parking lot, when someone curses you out, when someone lies to you, you are constantly saying, Holy Spirit, how do you want me to deal with this right now? That's praying in the Spirit, constantly. You're surrendering to him everything. Not praying in the morning some weak prayer, dear God, bless me. And God says, well, do you know what that even means? And then going about your day, doing what you want to do. And at the end of the day, or maybe at the end of the week when you come to church, you pray again. That is getting you nothing. It's constantly, all day, every day, involving him in every decision and reminding yourself, oh, yeah, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do about this? Your financial decision. Holy Spirit, I need a job. I need a house. I need a car. I need transportation. Holy Spirit, guide and direct me. And next thing you know, he's going to say, look to your left, and there's your job opportunity, just like that. Look to your right. There's a ride to work. And all of a sudden, God is directing everything you do. It's constantly, persistently praying. Number five, praying in the Spirit means praying with power. Everyone say power. Power is the authority, ability, and freedom to do something. The Holy Spirit has all the authority, all the ability, and all the opportunity to do anything he wants to do. Praying in the Spirit means, Lord, I am removing myself from a position of power. And I'm going to accept your power. In other words, I acknowledge that you're the creator of the universe. So I am going to pray according to your power, and I'm going to remove myself and humble myself and say, Lord, I can't do it. Please go ahead of me and do it. Show me my role in doing the things in my life that I want to do, and I release you to do your role, fulfill your role in my life. I would assume that everybody in here has a big problem in their life. I have some. Anybody else can have at least one? Very good, very good. Matter of fact, if you have a big problem in your life, raise your hand really high. Okay, keep your hand up real high. Everyone look around the room. You are not the only one. Okay, so If you're having a pity party, get over it. We're all in this together. And you will always have a problem your whole life. Now, well, it doesn't mean the same one, but there will always be something. But that's not a bad thing. Because here's what God does. God says, here is, this pen is your goal, and here are your obstacles. The devil says, I'm going to put these obstacles in your way to stop you from getting God's goal for your life. And God says, I'm going to lead those obstacles in your way because I want you to trust me and I want you to watch me knock them down. Depends on how you see it. God is not going to make your way easy just because you're cute. I just can't believe I have these problems. Wake up. God wants you to pray with power. Holy Spirit, those problems are no big deal to you. So Holy Spirit, I'm calling on you according to your power. Acts 1:8 says to God that we shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, that we may be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost parts. Holy Spirit, according to your power, you create the heavens and earth. You can do anything. Please deal with those obstacles and show me what I need to do to overcome those obstacles. I'm praying in power. And the Holy Spirit has to give you that power. You cannot manufacture it, but the best way to get it is to be weak that you may be strong. In other words, you surrender all your strengths to him and let him dictate how you use your strengths. Your strengths, your intelligence, your personality, your looks, your charisma. Those are your strengths, your financial power, your connections. God, how do you want me to use all of that you may be glorified? Number six, praying in the Spirit means praying with passion. Passion. Whenever I ask my kids something like, do you want to live here another day? Do you want to eat today? I do not like and do not accept the answer, sure. I hate that answer. So I reject that answer. I said, that means no, so get out. You don't want to live here. Sure is like a very whatever, you know, I don't need it, I'll take it, whatever you want to do. You know, it means a lot of things that none of them are good. It's either a yes or no. Praying with the Spirit means praying with passion. In other words, fervency, commitment, focus. We were doing a Miles Ahead event in North Carolina I think it was the year we started The Rock, about 2000, 2001, and a lot of stuff was going bad, and I just was on my face, on the ground, yelling and crying out to God. You know what God was doing? That's what I'm talking about. Good. Stay down there, young man. We pray like this. Dear God. Oh, dear God, bless me today. Amen. God's like, I don't want to hear that. You want it or you don't. Come get it. God can give you everything right now. Why don't you think he does it? You're not ready for it. You don't deserve it. You don't really want it. You don't even know what it is. You're not passionate. I've told you many times, but when I met my wife, I asked her for her phone number, and she wouldn't give it to me. She said, no, I'm not giving you my number. I said, well, how am I going to find you? And she said, you will figure it out. I was like, no, you did not. It was in college, and I was a football player. I was like, you know, do you have any idea who I am? I will find you. If I really wanted to find her, I would. And if I didn't find her, I didn't deserve to have her. So I found her. Because I wanted. God says, I want you to pray with passion. James 5:16, I'll just read it to you. We're running out of time real quick. It says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In other words, God's saying, I have this mountain of blessing for you. And by the way, blessing is only whatever God wants for you. It doesn't necessarily mean a lot of money at all. It could mean less money, more happiness. Okay? Money is not necessarily, there's not a direct correlation with money and happiness. More money does not necessarily mean more happiness and vice versa. They're somewhat unrelated. God says, I have all of this here. And if you pray effectively and fervently, you can get a whole lot of this. And by the way, there is a direct correlation with how fervently and passionately you come pursue this. So if you got a little blessing, probably because your prayers are probably weak. Dear God, that gets you very little. I know when I say passion, I don't mean only intensity, but even more so persistently, length of time. Praying is communication. The more you communicate to God, the more you know God, the more you know his will for your life, the more specifically and accurately you'll pray, the more your prayers will be answered. The more biblically you'll pray. Lastly, praying in spirit means praying with freedom. Praying with freedom. When you get a second, turn to John chapter 3. You have in your notes 2 Corinthians 3, but turn to John chapter 3, praying with freedom. I'm sure we all have heard the wind. Say amen if you've heard the wind. Say amen if you've ever seen the wind. No, you haven't. You see what the wind does, but you've never seen the wind. You don't know where it comes from. You don't know where it's going. Look at John chapter 3, verse 3 real quick. It said, John chapter 3, verse 5. Jesus said, most surely I say to you, unless one is born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. Verse 8, the focus of this point. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear its sound. You cannot tell where it's from or where it goes. So is everyone born of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come and say, hey, why don't you right now call your mother and tell her you love her? What? Hey, why don't you right now call your employer or employee or your fellow employee and say this? Why don't you write a check for this? Why don't you volunteer for this ministry? Why don't you start this ministry? All of a sudden, out of nowhere. What? The Holy Spirit will just speak to you out of nowhere and say stuff you never thought of. Why? Because he's on his own timetable. He's got his own plans that are way above your head. Praying in the Spirit means, Lord, I want you to just tell me what to say. I don't have my predetermined clang, clang, clang. I was watching the Notre Dame game yesterday. I'm not a big fan of Notre Dame. They're a great institution. I have great respect for them. It's just a team I love to hate. You always got to have a team you love to hate. And so I was watching the game because I wanted to see them lose, and they didn't. So I was very disappointed. And right before the Notre Dame game, every game, they run out and they say a prayer. Every player says a prayer at the end of the thing. Now, I don't know what any of them pray because I don't know any of those players, but I'm going to assume it's a Catholic school. I'm assuming that some of them say an Our Father. A predetermined, scripted, boom, 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 then he did sign of the cross. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but the Holy Spirit wants you to pray according to his relationship with you, not a pre-described script. We have no pre-described script for any relationship we have. And if you do, it's not a relationship. Praying to the Holy Spirit means praying with freedom, saying, Lord, today I want to release to you my smoking. I want to release to you my cursing. Lord, today, and by the way, the Holy Spirit is prompting you to say this, that you are free. You have no inhibition, nothing restricting you from what the Holy Spirit wants you to pray. Holy Spirit, I want to read 10 chapters a day, and as a matter of fact, I'm going to get up early these next 4 months, and I'm going to read these 10 chapters, and I'm going to study. I'm going to look words up and memorize verses and write notes. This is the Holy Spirit speaking. All of a sudden, you have this, something's in you. And when I said to read 10 chapters a day, some of y'all, he was already prepping you for that. And now it pushed you over the edge because he's been telling you, you need to read the Bible. And by the way, is that true for anybody? Very good. There you go. So the Holy Spirit's telling you all this. And when you say, when I say praying with freedom, that you get up in the morning and say, Lord, what do you want for me today? It's all about you. It has nothing to do with me. What is your schedule? Here's what I got. What do you have? Being in the Cheesecake Factory and saying to and talking to somebody, and God says, I want you to pray for them right here. Right here at the cashier? Yeah, go ahead. Okay. Can I pray for you? What? Can I pray for you? Pray for them right there. And in doing it, I pray for people in public. It's a trip because, you know, it's freaky for people when you pray in public. Like right in the middle of the mall. Say, let's pray right now. And then be like, oh, okay. And before they can say no, I'm just like, duh, 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 duh. And you see people walking by going, And what's really, you know, you can have fun again, be led by the Spirit, but, you know, God has a sense of humor that you're praying for people. And then as you know people walking by looking at you, you pray, and I'm praying for you. Da, 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 da. And they feel like they sinned because they broke your prayer. You know, like, oh, I invaded. Oh, my God. But some of y'all have communication to God, and he tells you to do stuff. And raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. He tells you to do stuff in the middle of these odd things, and you don't do it, and you walk away, I messed up. Anybody? Ah, that's God. That's God. Praying in the Spirit is not only being in communication with God all the time, that's praying constantly, but it's also responding to what that is. Constantly asking God, communication with God all the time. And if you're doing that and you're always in communication with God, stuff, unexplainable stuff, will happen. Your life will be unexplainable. I'm going to leave you with this one quote if you have a pen. If you are a praying person, if you are a praying person, and I don't mean just reciting stuff, that you're in communication with God, here's what I want you to write down. My life will be unexplainable. Unexplainable. And I'm going to make a bold statement. It's not that big a deal. If there is not things about your life that's unexplainable, it may be that you're not walking with God. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to pray, and thank you so much for the opportunity to have a relationship with you. And I pray that you would prompt us to read 10 chapters a day. May people be spirit-led to do it when you say, how you say, where you say. It may happen throughout the day. It may happen at the same place at the same time. Wherever it is, I pray it's led by you. There is no rule. We're all probably going to do it a little different, and that's okay. I just pray that those who commit to doing it, do it. And I pray we would pray in the Spirit this week, that we would listen to your small, still voice and allow you to guide us what to say and how to say it. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, amen. God bless you. Kamusta ka? Mabuti!